Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be here, and it's a privilege to be able to preach again. I just want to thank Malcolm for giving me the opportunity. And, yeah, it's great to have Livia here, too. So no pressure. But there's even somebody even greater here today, and his name is Jesus. And, yeah. But I know God's got a lot of grace, so we're trusting Him to do great things. He's already spoken so much this morning, so let's not lose what God is speaking to us this morning. I'm just going to pray for us. Thank you, Father, that You are perfect. Lord, Your love is perfect, Your mercy, Your grace. Lord, Your hands are always open to us, Lord. And Father, I hope you find pleasure today in this word as we just lay it for you today, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will dwell into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls. Lord, let growth take place today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit walking side by side with us. And Lord, even right now, God, that if there are things that you want me to say, Lord, let me be obedient today, Almighty God. It's all for your glory. Amen. So, if you have a Bible here, you can open your Bible in Luke 18, from verse 18. We're going to look at two passages of scriptures today. One is in Luke 18 and one is in Luke 19. And I've just got 3 points. No 6-pointer or 10-pointer, just 3 points. Really simple. And the points are the situation, the problem, and the solution. I don't have great acronyms like other preachers, but I just try to keep it simple as possible. Sometimes I'm too simple, my wife tells me. But that's between us. Right, in verse 18 it says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he is very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And those who heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' But he said, 'The things which are possible with men, are impossible with men, are possible with God.'" Point number one, the situation. Here we have this rich young ruler who's asking Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. So Jesus tells the rich young ruler, just keep these commandments. And he calls him, he says, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and honor your mother and your father. So the rich young ruler replies in that case and he says, but I've kept these. But Jesus comes back with a reply that he didn't expect. Because in normal life, somebody else would say, but what about the other 5 points? The other 5 commandments. But Jesus just says to him, you still lack one. Sell all these you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. Verse 23 says, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for this was a very rich man. You see, this guy sounded like he had a good life. He was a rich guy. He had youth on his side. He was probably a very attractive guy as well. Could have paid for a bit of treatments. He had money in the bank. He wasn't called the poor young ruler. He was called a rich young ruler. It sounds like he pretty much had it all figured out. You see, in his heart, he wanted to know if he was still good enough to enter heaven. In the world, we have it all figured out in a sense. But when it comes to eternity, do we have it all figured out? That was the question of the day there. So Jesus uses this opportunity to bring things into perspective for people. Not just for the rich young ruler. Not just for his disciples. But for all the people that were gathering there. We see the whole time in the Word of God that crowds of people were always around Jesus. So Jesus used every single opportunity to make an impact into the kingdom for God. It's amazing that Jesus only asked him about 5 of the 10 commandments. I wonder why he didn't ask him the other 5. But let's just, to refresh our minds, let's just go through the other 5. Real quickly, the other 5 is, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall not covet. One thing we need to remember is that this rich young ruler, he had a religious upbringing. How do we know that? Well, he himself stated that he's been keeping 5 of the 10 commandments. But you see things, you see friends, Jesus knew this fella. Remember, just like the Father, Jesus knows every single one of us. And he knows our hearts. Jesus didn't ask him the other 10 commandments because he wanted everybody to understand this one specific point. See, this guy, he made for himself a God. That was the first commandment that God gave. Do not make for yourself another God except for me. His God was his riches. That was the thing that he didn't want to get rid of. His God was called Mammon. It became his carved image. It became every single thing in his life. His heart was where his riches was. Matthew 6 verse 19 to 21 says the following. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where was his heart? Riches. It was something that was very important to him, to the point where it meant everything to him. It established his identity. He's not called the poor young ruler. He's not called the handsome young ruler. He's not called the muscle young ruler. He's called the rich young ruler. His identity is based on what he was worshipping. Before I came to this country, there were certain decisions that I had to take. And this scripture in Matthew 6 was the scripture that God spoke to me about. Because I had a very lucrative opportunity to follow. But I knew in my heart that it wasn't the way to go. But this scripture just came and gave me peace. Because what am I chasing? Am I chasing money? Am I chasing mammon? Am I going after the riches? Or what is my identity in? My identity is in Jesus. We need to always keep him number one. It's like this, and we can worship something else. This guy thought he was a good guy. He thought he was keeping these commandments. But this one thing became his God. Jesus said to him, one thing. What is that one thing in our lives? Good. It's interesting. It says there that what Jesus shared with him made him very sorrowful. So I blessed myself with a great concordance. And I went and had a look at this word. And this word is, I hope I'm going to pronounce it right, it's perilupus. And the Greek for that literally means sorrowful to the point of death. It made him so sorrowful that he felt like he wanted to die. Just couldn't give it up because it was his God. That brings me to my next point, the problem. Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven. So that statement there didn't just shock the rich young ruler, but it shocked everybody. You see, the riches that he spoke about wasn't just the amount. It wasn't just the how much he had. But it was because this thing was becoming, or was his God. It was the thing that was in front of God. It was the thing between him and eternal life. Him and Jesus. Him and God. Very rich. The Greek for that is pleuritius. It's abounding in material possessions. He was living the life. He was having it all. He probably, if it was a man of today, he would have had the Porsches in their garage. He would have had a triple-story standalone house. The Ferrari F50 going down Invalid Row. The dream life. He would have had it all. He would have had got home, switch on his cappuccino machine, one like that. He just had it all. But that's not the thing. He couldn't give it up. What is in our lives that we can't give up to Jesus? We cannot compromise on those things. You see, this rich young ruler, he wanted to go to heaven on his conditions. It doesn't work like that. And when Jesus gave him the true conditions, it made him sorrowful to the point of death. Let me ask you, what is your riches? What is that thing standing in your way that you don't want to give up? Maybe you feel it's something small. I love this picture I saw yesterday on Twitter. You had the big iceberg in the ocean. And the guy said, this is the symphony. And then the water level is there. And then right underneath is a much bigger part of this iceberg. And he said, the rehearsal. And it's just, what is underneath the water? Maybe it looks like something small in our lives, but what is going on underneath the water level? And God wants to come and take those things away today. He wants to, if I flow and I listen to what Lavia was sharing about the lumps, God wants to come and take away the old stuff, friends. He wants us to come and live in the new things. He had so much for that rich young ruler, but he just didn't want to give up this old thing. This old life. We just need to hand it over. What is the thing from keeping you from following Jesus wholeheartedly? And you need to ask yourself today, it's between you and God. Where is your heart? Where is your treasure? That is why the people who were there asked Jesus, who then can be saved? Because they all knew they had something stopping them from following Jesus. If they went over that 10 commandments, it was impossible, literally impossible to have eternal life. They were being real with each other. No amount of cows or sheep or anything could have, all the sacrifices couldn't even pay for all of those sins for them to go into eternal life. In my life, I can speak out of my life because I've been there when I've been living it. But one thing I remember, when I was a professional cyclist, we spoke about it this morning with Denise and Elizabeth, is all I did was eat, sleep, talk, dream. Everything was just around this one thing, cycling. It was my dream to be a professional cyclist, and I did it. But it cost me something. But I didn't want to give that up for nothing. And I went to churches many a times when I was cycling. And I heard the gospel. And I thought, sure, that's me he's speaking to. I was the one walking out of that church, very sorrowful, to the point of death. But the next day came and I just did it again. And then God came and he took that away. Because why? The reason for that? He was serious about me. I praise God for taking those things away from me. Because that would have cost me my life. I would have probably died if it wasn't for what he'd done in my life. See, we were made to worship. We were maybe made to worship God, but we've lost the plot somewhere. So what's happening now is we're just worshiping ourselves or something or somebody. Yeah. I watched a program the other day and they showed about these teenagers and this guy, I don't even know his name. I'm so out of it. But he is like a rock star. He dresses well like one and he's standing there and he's got this old pose going like that thing that Gareth gave me to wear today. And he was standing there with that old image and they were shouting, "We love you, Justin Bieber." And I'm like, this kid, how old is he? "We love you, we'll die for you." They shouted, "We'll die for you." And I'm standing there and I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is a perfect example for me to use in church. Because if you're worshiping somebody else or something else, you were made for worship. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." By God's will, we were created for His glory. Just think about that for one second. You were created by God's will for His glory. Tell that to your person next to you. You were created for God's glory. Levia, you've been created for God's glory.
You too.
Thanks. It feels good. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made." Who made you? God made you. He planned you. You think you're not good enough to live. Let me tell you that God knows you're good enough to live. I love that response that Charles gave that guy.
That's right.
Because God created you. The guy's jaw is probably over here. Romans 12:11 says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." But because of sin and the nature, what was that? But because of your sinful nature, and being totally depraved from God for so many years, God has literally given humankind over to their own lustful ways. But because God loves us so much, Jesus Christ died on that cross for us. He's that bridging piece between us and eternal life. He's the one that puts us into the presence of God. Us on our own, we cannot make it. It's impossible. They were right when they said that. Because they just reiterated what Jesus said. And Jesus don't speak nonsense. He speaks truth. What are we worshiping? Are we worshiping ourselves or religion? Just like the rich young man, we the world try to justify ourselves as good. He walks to Jesus and says, "Good teacher." Right there, Jesus says to him, "For no man is good except for God." But because of Jesus Christ, I can call you good. That's amazing. How amazing is that? You see, the Bible speaks about the hearts of men. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We will never get to a place where we can say we have arrived. For us as men, it's impossible to be saved purely out of our deeds and our good nature. If we think we have that, it's not there. Our hearts are wicked. God gave the people of Israel the Ten Commandments so they can see how much they need Him. But there is good news. It's not just all downhill. Verse 27 of Luke 18 says, "But He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." It's amazing. You see, Jesus, He is the truth. He is the way and He is the life. And through Him, we have access to the Father, access into eternity. And this brings me to my next point, the solution. And if you can open your Bibles to Luke 19. Just flick the page. And I just have a couple of points there. And it's just how amazing God is. Yeah. Sure. I just want to... It says in verse 1, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree, to see him. You guys are sleeping. For he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complied, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any one by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A few points I want us to remember about this passage. I asked the youth the other day, why do you guys look so serious? So they looked back to me and somebody replied, because you always look so serious. So I discovered I should actually start smiling when I'm speaking to people. It's good to ask the youth questions because they're quite serious and they're honest. So, and I really appreciate and love them because they changed me more than I could ever change them. So there's two main characters in this passage in Luke 19. We have Jesus, which is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, passing through Jericho. So Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, why? To go and die for you and me. To go and be on that cross for you and me. But this is just amazing picture of how Jesus' heart is. Because Jesus on his way to be literally crucified to death, but he's still taking people along with him. That's a thing for us, friends, is to always take people with us. Wherever we are going, always have our ears open. Good. This week I was challenged by what Rob said last week, to just have that card in your pocket, you know, to share with somebody at the right point. And this week I told somebody about Steph McLeod, and truth, Bob, that day I left my Bible at home where all my flyers are in. And I said, yeah, Lord, what now? And God reminded me I had some free CI cards in the van. I'm like, wait, I'll give you this. There's more info. Just go on the website. And it was amazing. Because that's the thing. We should always be available, no matter where we're heading, to take people with us, to show people to Jesus, yeah? To the cross. So, next character, his name is Zacchaeus. Who is Zacchaeus? Chief tax collector. This guy, he was a bad boy. He's not just a normal tax collector like Matthew was. He was the chief. This week when I went to gym, somebody called me, how you doing, chief? And I thought, jeez, does this guy see me like a tax collector? But I thought, I'll just let that one go. I'll speak to him later. You see, in the day of Caesar in Rome, when the Roman were ruling over this whole area, Caesar went and he took all the greedy Jews and he made them into tax collectors. So they were called outcasts among the Jews. They were seen as lower than low. When they spoke of them, they had no respect for those guys. They were literally seen as like the scum of the earth. They wanted nothing to do with them. It's not like the tax man today, where we have a tax system and you give to the tax man what he's due. Those boys didn't work like that. They took more than they needed to take.
That's right.
Why? Because they had Caesar behind them. Caesar was the one that gave them the power and he gave them the authority to get even more power and authority. As long as Caesar got what he got, Caesar was happy. But the rest they kept for themselves. You see, there's a thing in the world where something, the world sees it as lawful, it's not sinful. But that's not the truth. Something can be lawful, but it can be very sinful.
That's right. Good show.
Just because somebody is cheating on his wife doesn't make it, it's not against the law, but it's sinful. If you have a naughty kid at home, you're not going to phone the police. Excuse me, my 3-year-old is wrecking havoc. He just put a brick through the window. Can you please come and arrest him and lock him up for 2 days? No. It is not lawful, but it is sinful. We need to grasp these things. A lot of times, just because something is lawful doesn't mean it's right. But God is higher than this law. Another thing about Zacchaeus that was very significant was he was very short. So I thought, how do I describe Zacchaeus in today's term? Well, he was a guy. He probably had a great suit on. He had some nice Armani shoes. He probably had the polo shirt, the Ray-Ban glasses. I don't see him as a bald-headed guy. I see him quite crew-cut, quite a nice-looking fella. But he went short. If I had to go on somebody, he's like a little Danny DeVito or maybe somebody like Alan Sugar or somebody. He had it all cut out. But it didn't matter that day because Jesus had his number. And I'm going to give us a couple of points here just to see how Jesus' heart was. Remember one thing. This guy was rich. What did Jesus say in Luke 18? He said it was impossible for a rich man. It's like going through the eye of a needle. Then they said, Lord, but it's impossible for anybody to go to heaven. God said, what is impossible for man is possible with Jesus, with God. And Jesus is going to prove that today. Or he proved it many years back, but he's going to look at that today. So, point number one, Jesus saw. Zacchaeus was in a desperate place. He was short. There was multiple people there. He was the scum of the earth. They didn't mind him. They're not going to stand aside for him to come through. A lot of people maybe knew about him, but they didn't know how he looks like. Because he had people working for him, remember? He was the chief, and he had other tax collectors just gathering for him. But it's amazing when a desperate heart is there, what you will do. Imagine standing on Princess Street, and we lined up to see Jesus, and Danny DeVito is running with everything he's got past us, climbing on one of those tram poles, looking to see Jesus. He was in a desperate state.
Yeah.
Jesus was a big deal in that city of Jericho. People were looking out for him. There was multiple people. Imagine this, multiple people. And Jesus goes and stands still at this specific place. And he looks up at him. And the second point is, and Jesus spoke to him. You see, before I get to the second point, I just want to highlight this one thing. Even though to the world, Zacchaeus looked like the scum. Even to the world, Zacchaeus was this rich man. And there is no way that Jesus will even think about speaking to Zacchaeus. Because Jesus only ministers to the poor. Jesus ministers to the poor in heart too. It says in Luke 16, he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eye of men. This is when he was speaking to the Pharisees. But God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. All these things that we run around in the world, God doesn't, it says it's detestable to him. So Jesus saw the desperateness in Zacchaeus' heart. So point number two, Jesus spoke. Then after Jesus saw him, he said to him, make haste, come down, for today I must stay with you. And he did, and received Jesus joyfully. And Jesus went into Zacchaeus' house. In the Jewish culture, Well, in today's culture even, when you invite somebody to your house or when you go to somebody for a meal, it's about building friendship, yeah? Jesus went into Zacchaeus' house to go and build a friendship with Zacchaeus, to go and connect with Zacchaeus. If it wasn't for a meal, for somebody inviting me to a meal, I wouldn't stand in Scotland today. It was because of a meal that I came into the kingdom of God. Because in that meal, revelation came to me. In that meal, conviction hit my heart. In that meal, the love of Jesus Christ wrapped around me. If I liked it or not at that stage, it was there. Man, and once you taste it, there's no turning back. And Zacchaeus saw that. Zacchaeus felt that. He was totally amazed by what is happening. Here's Jesus, who he thought it's impossible to be saved, even impossible for him to be spoken to, in his house. It's amazing Zacchaeus' name. In the world, Zacchaeus was seen as an unrighteous man. If you go look at what his name is, it's like Zac, it's like the righteous one. Amazing. And God came and made him righteous in that day. Point number three, Jesus stayed. So Jesus stayed with Zacchaeus, but it was a cost for Jesus and for Zacchaeus. They faced opposition. The people were speaking about what was going on in that household. Said, look at Jesus. He goes and sits and eats with sinners. Zacchaeus was probably challenged. His household, remember, this guy was loaded. He had a lot of money. His household's like, what is this guy doing with Jesus? We're going to lose our jobs. This guy, what's he doing? Doesn't matter. He wanted to give it all away. Because he met Jesus. Unlike the rich young ruler, that didn't want to put this thing out of the way. He wanted to keep his riches, his God. But Zacchaeus wanted Jesus Christ as his God. And that's why Jesus stayed. And Jesus will stay in your heart as long as you keep him number one. It's amazing how Jesus came into his house. Stay there. It's like for me a picture of Jesus comes into my heart. He stays there. And then what happens? Repentance. Forgiveness. Reconciliation. And that's exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. He said, Lord, everything that I've taken, I'll give it back. I'll even give more back to those who have taken of too much. I want to make right what I did wrong. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord. When he repented, refreshment came into that household. A new thing, like Livia said this morning. New lump. The old is gone, the new is here. Refreshment. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. My friend, you and me, we're in that business of reconciling with people. Reconciling Jesus Christ with them. That's what happens when Christ comes into our hearts. We repent and we reconcile. We serve an amazing God. Point number four, saved. In verse 9 it says, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. But it says it in a very upbeat way, like Jesus is almost jumping through the roof. He's so happy what was happening there. Because also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost. You see, salvation just doesn't come to one person. It comes into households. His whole household was shaken there. Multiple times in the New Testament, we can see how households got saved. My family, I got saved. I shared the gospel with my brother. He stands against it. I go to my parents' house. My dad asks me, please leave. I think I had enough of this. So me and my lovely wife, we get in our car. On our way back, we pray, God, please let something happen. God, please open up a door for us to share your greatness, your gift, everything, Lord, so they can just see the truth. My brother, car accident. Something happened to my mother that really upset him. Jesus opened up a door. In that moment, God came and he saved my dad, my mother, my brother, my cousin, the ladies at work. It was like a mini revival that was breaking out. Just of God, just doing what he does. He saves households. He comes in and he saves not just individuals, but households, friends. Good. And I want to encourage you, if you have brothers or sisters or parents that are not saved, keep on praying for them. Do not forget them. I said to my mate when I was praying for them, I said, I don't know what to do. I've been praying, but nothing's happening. He said, trust. I've been praying for 20 years for my brother. He hasn't come to salvation, but I know Jesus has got his number. And he rejoiced with me when I found him and said, you won't believe what just happened. It's amazing. The kingdom of God is amazing. See, Jesus, he knows our hearts. In John 14:10, it says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. God knows our hearts. And today can be that day where the impossible happens. Where you can come into the kingdom of God. Where you can inherit eternal life. Because Jesus, he is the one that bridged the gap for us. He is the one that is making it possible for us to be in the kingdom. This passage about Zacchaeus shows me a couple of things. Christ is always on the lookout for those who are desperate in their hearts. He looks at our hearts. God is not here to look at your mask. He's here to look at your heart. Then he speaks to us like he did to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had to look. He had everything. He looked all right. He looked like he had a good life. But he was desperate in his heart for the truth. And maybe you here today, desperate for this truth. He said to him, let me come and have a meal in your house. Zacchaeus could have been like the rich young ruler and walked away there, sorrowful to the point of death. But it says in the Bible, and he rejoiced. He rejoiced because Jesus was coming into his house. That's amazing. And then when Jesus is there, repentance takes place. Reconciliation takes place. And the new things, that thing that Livia said, the new things start coming into action. I just want to be bold this morning. And there's two types of people that we can see in these two passages. One is the rich young ruler. That had something above God. And then there's another rich guy called Zacchaeus. On the outside, he looks perfect. Everything looks all right. But he's so desperate for God. And I just want to ask you this morning, if you're either of those two guys, and I'm pleading with you, do not walk away a sorrowful to the point of death, but rather come rejoicing into the kingdom of God. Because God's got a great plan and a future for you.